Well, hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space, and this is Turning Towards Life, which is our weekly conversation that has been running for well over 5 years. And you're all so welcome to be with us, whether you're joining us for the first time this week. We know a number of people keep on finding their way to us every week. And hello, welcome to all of you who are with us for the first time, or whether you've been with us for the 5.5 years, you're all so welcome to be with us. And the way that this works is each week we bring a source. You could think of it like a spring of water, or the source of a river that flows into the conversation. And then the conversation happens from that, unrehearsed. And it has been such a joy, Lizzie, to be in this conversation with you. I've said it many times, but to be in a 5.5 year conversation with you, and to see all of its different depths and manifestations, has been quite something. And here we are, turning the wheel on it for another week, which I'm very glad for.
Thank you, Justin. And thank you, everybody, for being with us. And I'm just amazed at the fact that we do this, Justin, really, and amazed at the kind of people who message us and what they say. This week we've had a really beautiful message from someone who will know who they are. They're somebody who, in part, I think maybe there's more than this, so that, well, there must be more than this to their lives in a way, but they're they take care of pigs, and they have been emailing us about last week's episode to do with uncertainty, and how their beautiful pig was giving birth to tiny piglets, and how being without uncertainty was. And I feel so kind of moved by the stories of what kind of worlds get impacted by this, Justin. And I could never have even dreamed up receiving an email where the topic was pigs and piglets being born in the wild, and how being with uncertainty and our episode around that could be supportive in that realm. So I just feel really kind of opened out into possibility that things can happen that I don't even know, like I can't even dream them up as a possibility, and suddenly they land in our inboxes as a result of doing this. And I feel very moved and opened and widened by that. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who's ever emailed us and told us or left us a message of some kind about the impact that this is having, or some sharing or reflection or anything. I just really enjoy that. I'm really grateful for anybody who does that. So thank you. And if you fancy doing that at any time, you can email us at hello@turningtowards.life, or if it's Justin you want to talk to, Justin@turningtowards.life, or me, Lizzie@turningtowards.life. We're so delighted to hear from you each and every time. So as you said, Justin, we're going to get into this conversation, this unrehearsedness. And this week we have a poem by John O'Donohue, the wonderful, amazing John O'Donohue, which seemed to speak to me in very subtle ways. And I just wanted to bring it without really having any thought about it, but being very moved by it. And so I'm going to read it, and then you can read it and we can get into it. So here we go. This is the time to be slow. Lie low to the wall until the bitter weather passes. Try as best you can not to let the wire brush of doubt scrape from your heart all senses of yourself and your hesitant light. If you remain generous, time will come good, and you will find your feet again on fresh pastures of promise, where the air will be kind and blushed with beginning.
Thanks, Lizzie. If you're, to me and to you, Lizzie, and to everyone who's listening, if you're in the midst of something or caught up in busy thoughts, I'm going to invite us all just to take a breath before I read. This is the time to be slow. Lie low to the wall until the bitter weather passes. Try as best you can not to let the wire brush of doubt scrape from your heart all sense of yourself and your hesitant light. If you remain generous, time will come good, and you will find your feet again on fresh pastures of promise, where the air will be kind and blushed with beginning.
Thank you, Justin. So I think the reason that this really moves me is there's so many times where I feel like there's a very tiny little Bunsen burner of flame around something. And it's so easy to let this wire brush of doubt scrape away at that. And so the thought of kind of lying low to the wall, just taking some time to be quiet and see how something might pass, how the weather might change, feels like a really excellent invitation to me, rather than trying to kind of bolster myself up and fight or do something that, you know, would be societally expected. Maybe we can wait, maybe we can slow down, maybe we don't have to rush, maybe it doesn't have to be now, but that we can remain generous, as John O'Donohue says. Like, how radical just to remain generous in spite of what might we be feeling. In the face of doubt, can I be generous? In the face of like hunkering down and just pausing, can I still be generous? A little bit like we were talking about last week, Justin, of having this multitudinousness. I love it when generosity is placed next to things like doubt and lying low. And it seems to me to just speak of this faith and generosity that there will be, life is benevolent. Life is willing us on. And our remaining generous feels like a faithfulness to that and a cultivation of that and a keeping on bringing forth that generosity that we can have faith. I guess so many of the things that I bring are about faith, because I feel like that's what seems so central to me, so undoing for me, is to be faithful and generous in the face of when I feel so afraid or small, or the tiny little Bunsen burner-ness of an idea or a feeling or a wish. And I love that this like doubles down on generosity being a response to all of that.
When you referred back to our conversation of last week and our multitudinousness, I'm finding myself remarking on in your words what it is to talk about faithfulness and generosity, and in John O'Donohue's words about the importance of us always remembering, first of all, that we're never one thing, we're never only one thing. And the second thing about it is that in the heart of us is something really generous. To be a human, alive and generous, creative, responsive, life-filled and life-giving, able to turn to the far horizon, able to love what's here, that is always true of us. And I think that's what you're, to my sense, what you're reminding us of. And when John O'Donohue says, your sense of yourself and your hesitant light, that can remain in the midst of times of bitter weather. And it got me reminding, as you were talking, particular memories came, childhood memories came up for me of, I suppose, like many of us have, or maybe all of us are likely to have in some way or another, some of us more than others, other times when I was small and somebody big told me who I was, their definition of who I was, and it would usually be total, you know, you're an idiot, or you're selfish, or you're no good, or you're lazy, or you're, you know, all of those kind of things that happen to us. And remembering how being small in those circumstances with someone very big, how easy it was to believe what I was being told as true, and then how hard it is to find in those circumstances when we believe that we're just brokenness, or we're just selfishness, or we're just inattentiveness, or any of those things. It's very difficult to remember, and understandably when we're small, it's really difficult to remember the light that we are as well, that to be patient with. And very often those circumstances are someone else being deeply impatient with us. And of course, they're very resonant childhood memories. But what I also realize is, of course, it's really easy to continue to take ourselves that way well into adulthood, or maybe even all the way through our lives, unless we're prepared to remind ourselves and have other ways of remembering. So in the midst of, for some reason, this line, the wire, a brush of doubt, seems very powerful to me this morning. The reminder that when we are feeling like the wire brush of doubt in us is doing its best to scrape away all sense of our own faithfulness, it really helps to actively remember that even if it is only a hesitant light, that's in a much deeper way what we are. So I'm feeling reminded of that now. And I suppose it's that kind of, that way of knowing ourselves as having even hesitant light in us is for many of us, not for everyone, but quite countercultural. We've learned a lot about our badness and our insufficiency and, you know, and our incapability. It seems to me that if we can trust that even if what is in us is hesitant light, it gives us the opportunity that John O'Donohue is asking, which is to allow ourselves to wait, to allow ourselves to cradle it, to see if we can find those people and places that will help cradle it too, that will help remind us. And not to get on with the project of fixing ourselves up and fixing it all up too quickly, because that might just be another version of the wire brush of doubt.
Mm. Gosh, as you're talking, it's coming so strongly to me as well that I was in a conversation yesterday with somebody about when you're in a relationship with someone, whoever, and someone that one of you isn't remember that the other. Remembering that the other isn't a hesitant light, and how unsafe it feels to not be treated as this hesitant light. It's such lovely language for it, like when someone's coming in all guns blazing and you're supposed to be like completely fine or something, or completely together, or and so I'm just feeling into what it is to just regard everybody as a hesitant light, that there's light but that there's hesitantness, and that has to be held, like you said, cradled. It's such a lovely word. And that however sure anybody seems of themselves, even the truth of the hesitant lightness is still there. And when somebody's a hesitant light, when I'm a hesitant light, what's needed is leeway, you know, like you don't have to be able to land on one thing. You don't have to be able to be sure of something. You don't have to be able to make a declaration until you're ready. And I can feel how safety making it feels to me to be treated as a hesitant light. Because when you treat me like that, you're seeing my light, but you're not bashing it around. You're not treating it as if it's robust. You're allowing it to be the tenderness of a human heart, you know, of a human existence. And how safety making that is to have space to roam around that's not definitive, that's not particularly confident, or even when it is confident, to treat confidence like it's hesitant, because of course it is. You know, everything is fragile. We have these huge, big, mysterious internal worlds where who knows what sensitivities lie in them. And as you said, we all have these childhoods and these memories and these sources of power in our histories that have told us things, but they have been mistaken and we're having to undo that all the time. So it feels really important to remember that whatever anything looks like, we are this hesitant light, and that we each deserve spaciousness and respect for our hesitancy, and to be spoken to that way, to be held that way, to be dealt with that way, feels like the way that people, we, me, might express ourselves more, right? Might reveal ourselves more into the world, might share our gifts more. If we're held, cradled in this hesitancy, but also knowing that the hesitancy is a light, just feels really important.
I'm loving this idea that what you just said. Well, first of all, just going back a second, you so often make this wonderful move in our conversations of bringing what looks like it's personal only to do with our inner relationships into the world of interpersonal relationships. Like how we might be with this poem is not just about how we might be with ourselves, but how we might be with one another, how we might treat one another. And I'm really grateful for that. I'm really moved by this way that you're drawing out the equivalence between hesitancy and light. That it's not just always a hesitant light, as if the light were the good part and the hesitant was the somehow deficiency in it that made it less light. That oftentimes our hesitancy is a form of light. Like it's a way that something inside us is taking tender care of the unfolding, the mysterious unfolding, which takes time in us, of something that's really called for. And we could be, you know, when we can see, when we can see a possibility in another person, particularly someone we care about, or I'm thinking about, of course, in our work, Lizzie, any helping role where you're coaching someone or, you know, anything like that, where we can see a future possibility for somebody, some way in which things might be better for them, or maybe better for us, it's really tempting to get pushy about it. And to try and have something happen that we think, we, you know, I know, if you only blah, 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 whatever it was, Lizzie, and you got to it quickly, then everything would be fine. But what that is to not honour is that there may well be a really deep kind of inner care that's going on in your hesitancy. Like when a sunflower seed is germinating in the soil or something like that. There are things that take the time that they take. And it doesn't help to either, we've been talking about the getting discouraged side of it, like the inner discouragement, that doesn't help. But also what doesn't often help, if that's the circumstance, is for somebody else, for us or somebody else to push us to go faster, as if our hesitancy were itself the thing to be overcome. It might be that our hesitancy is the very thing that allows whatever is going to bloom to bloom, and we have to be in the dark. We have to be lie low to the wall whilst the bitter weather goes past. And yes, it's important not to let ourselves get scraped, our goodness scraped from the inside, but it's really important also not that people don't trample on us at this moment in time. And it seems to me it takes in each of us, when we care about others, a really attentive kind of discernment, because there are definitely times when it's helpful for me to say to you, Lizzie, let me help you get up now. I know you've got your back to the wall, but maybe the time is to stand now and to be generous in that way. And there are also times to say, I can see that you and your tenderheartedness are lying low to the wall, and I'll wait with you, and I'll treat your hesitancy with the honor and dignity and reverence that it requires. And that is a deep responsibility of care to one another, to not just wade in with our already formed ideas about what is good for people or good for somebody we love, but to be like, trying to think what the metaphor for it is. There's a certain kind of sensitive attunement to what might be really going on inside another person that we can also be faithful to if we'll let ourselves.
Yeah. It's bringing up for me, Justin, all my protector parts, the parts of me that want to protect others from certain things. And such a large part of that feels to me in this moment like, you know, if I'm worried about somebody because they're not going to get somewhere fast enough or something, or it's not going to happen if they don't act now or something. And as you're talking, I was having this thought of, I genuinely don't know what anything is for in anyone else's process. Many times, actually all the time, I don't know what anything is for in my own process. You know, I think I am a proper mystery to myself, and you are a complete mystery to me, and just as I'm a complete mystery to me. So with that in my heart, it becomes easier to identify all the ways that I'm pushing, or I'm encouraging, or I'm wanting, when it's really not, when it's coming from a place of assumption or my projection as to what's safe or not safe, or whether it's going to be okay or not. And I really feel in this moment that I genuinely do not know what anything is for in a human process, because so many times we get to see that something looked one way and it was actually a completely different thing than what we perceived, or something turns out in like a wholly different way that we couldn't have even imagined. So I'm feeling very faithful to this, each of us being a whole world of mystery, both to ourselves and one another. And that all of these beautiful sources that we have, Justin, are a kind of offering or a way in, because it might feel right. It might be that it's time to slow down. It might not be. It feels very mysterious to me what's needed. And I think that's what's so beautiful about all these sources that we bring, Justin, is that it's a big kind of smorgasbord that we can feel into, like what's needed right now. Maybe it's this, maybe it's something else, maybe it's nothing. But I feel very, just taken by this sense of each of us being this entire world of mysterious entirety, like, as in there's a wholeness to you, to me, to everyone, that is just pure mystery. And how extraordinary that we get to try and know each other a tiny weeny bit. I mean, it's so tiny weeny though. And you've said so many times about being married to somebody for so long and still feeling like, who is this one lying next to me? Goodness knows. And, you know, it's true for our friends and our neighbors and our children and everyone, that everyone is these huge, big inner and outer worlds. And that all that really is there is this mystery. And sometimes a poem hits the spot and sometimes it's completely irrelevant. I mean, that's the thing with choosing our sources as well, Justin. I don't know what the experience is like for you, but I look at loads and loads and loads of things. And maybe tomorrow I'll look at them and different things will occur. But so many, I'm just like, no, that's not. And then this one, I'm like, oh, that one. Which it kind of speaks to the mystery to me as well of like who I am on a given day. Goodness knows who that's going to be.
Oh, so beautiful hearing you talk this way. And I'm looking at you across our Zooms, Lizzie, as someone who I feel I know really well and not at all at the same time. Mm-hmm. We've been around one another an enormous amount over the last however many years, longer than a decade for sure. So I feel like I know you and I can't know you. And the thing that's really striking me in looking at you that really came forward as you were speaking is what I get to see is one face. That's one of the strange things about the way that we humans present to the world, is I get to see one face, one body, one in any one moment in time, one enactment of one surface. And it's so important to remember that behind those eyes and on the inside, there's a, like you say, there's a whole vast world which I'm encountering and feeling and seeing and hearing, and all of the multitudinous ways in which we receive one another is still, it can't be all of the dimensions of the inner world. So which is both moving me greatly. I feel so deeply reverent in that way towards you and your mystery, and such a thing to feel that way towards people. But it also reminded me that, again, is counter to the story that many of us have about one another. You know, anytime anyone's labeled us, or we've labeled ourselves as one way, as one thing, we've mistaken this because of the oneness of our presentation to the world, you know, the unity of our presentation to the world. But it also reminds me that and I think John O'Donohue, this is the other side of this, the parallel side of this, is because of the vastness of our inner world, seems to me that our active, conscious, willful, that of us that is all of those things, is but a small part of something also vast. And we know this from, we've talked about this many times, but it's more like I'm sitting in a boat with oars and a sail on a vast ocean, and the thing that I take to be me, the thing that can make decisions about everything, is not the whole of that. It's more like the me and the boat. That's the scale of it. And sometimes there are vast storms that come through, and all I can do is adjust the rudder. And sometimes it's calmer, and I've got more agency over my sense of direction and where I'm pointing. But at no time is there a something of me that can command the entirety of my inside world at no time. And I suppose that's the thing that we're talking about remembering about one another, is that not only is there a vast world, but we're not omnipotent inside that world. We have an enormous amount of choice about how we behave towards one another, taking care of our ethics and all of those kind of things. But we don't have so much control over what's going on inside. And so we need to be reminded, in the way that John O'Donohue is reminding us, that sometimes all there is to do is to lie low to the wall and to be faithful. And like you were saying, that really deeply affected me, that sometimes that is our job for one another, is to know when it's time to help someone lie low to the wall, and to not demand that somehow we have some kind of power You know, for me to demand that I can see the full truth about you, Lizzie, is nearly always going to be extraordinarily unhelpful, mostly because it's extraordinarily untrue.
So lovely, Justin, as you're talking and saying all these things, I'm feeling very kind of like spaciously launched into my own inner vastness. Like, as you're articulating our bigness on the inside and how sometimes we have no power in there, it's really helping me to make contact with my all the ways that I'm a complete mystery to myself, and all the ways I surprise myself and find bits that I, you know, have never encountered before, and that I can honor my incongruence and my mad parts and my generous parts and my pinched parts. And that's not even really doing justice to the kind of vastness that I'm in contact with. But of course, that's part of it. But I can also feel my universeness as you're saying it too. Like, of course I'm a mystery to you. I know about like 2% of myself or something. Like I really feel like that there's always the potential for things to come forth that are brand new. And just feel that in this moment as you're saying all of this, that I'm possibility, that I'm not the stories I tell about myself. I'm not, I am that and I'm more. You know, it's that feeling of whatever has come to this point, yes, but that's not all.